Radiofabrik Workshop Production. Hören, selber machen. Ihr hört Produktionen aus den Radiofabrik Radio Workshops.
Außenseiter und Vorurteile, eine Radiosendung der 5i des Musischen Gymnasiums.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserer Radiosendung zum Thema Außenseiter und Randgruppen in unserer Gesellschaft. Unsere Klasse, die 5i des Musischen Gymnasiums, hat sich sehr viele Gedanken über den Begriff Außenseiter und seine Bedeutung gemacht. Auf unserer Klassenreise nach London fragten wir auch einige Einheimische nach ihrer Meinung. Wir, Flora, Lisa, Nadia und Lea, haben uns gefragt, wie die Einwohner Großbritanniens den Begriff Outcast definieren und wie sie dieser Randgruppe gegenüberstehen.
We all heard the word outcast. What is your definition of it?
I would say that it's someone that is not being recognized by the norm, and because they're not part of this entity or whatever, then they become outcast.
Someone who is not perceived in society as the cultural norm.
Someone that's been exiled from where they are, like their home or something.
Someone who's rejected from society.
An outcast is a person, I think, who finds himself different to other people, probably. So outcast could be someone within himself or herself. And then, of course, there is an outcast seen from other people's perspective, like people who just don't belong.
Somebody that's not welcome somewhere and is shunned by society.
Somebody from the outside who's not part of the norm.
Somebody who is cast out of society.
How do you act towards outcasts?
I welcome them myself. I don't find hardly anybody that's an outcast for me. Because I'm an outcast myself, because I'm only 5'2" and everybody taps me on my head. So I understand minority.
I think what you see in front of you is a political system that doesn't make sense. So then we just find our own way and do our own thing.
If it was, you know, not their fault, then I'd obviously try and help them to get back.
I'd say I'm polite, I'd acknowledge them, but I'm not overly friendly.
Probably with a bit of pity. I pity them. I might give money sometimes, and sometimes it's tempting to just look away.
Well, I try not to treat anybody as an outcast. I try to treat everybody the same.
I don't encounter many, so I'm not really sure how I act. I act as I do with everyone else.
I would try to understand them and befriend them.
What do you recommend outcasts to fit in the society?
I don't have any recommendation. They should continue to be themselves. Now, there's a lot of respect that one should have. If you're an outcast for the wrong reason, I'll give you something stupid. If you're an outcast because you're a pedophile, well, that's something wrong there. That would be an outcast for me as well. But if you're an outcast because you're different from other people, continue to live your life. Everybody's different from one another.
Stick together.
I'd say just try and leave like the past in the past and just try and be a better person or something like that.
I'd say I'm polite, I'd acknowledge them, but I'm not overly friendly.
Talk to people, get help, get involved.
Well, they have to try and integrate with everybody else in society to integrate themselves and work together. And not disassociate themselves with other people, not stick together and just work together and be part of society as a whole.
Keep trying and try and understand where the other person is coming from who is being discriminatory. What do I recommend to them? Keep trying.
Wie ihr in unserem Beitrag gehört habt, sind die meisten Menschen der Meinung, dass sich Außenseiter nicht anpassen müssen, sondern einfach so sein sollen, wie sie sind. Jetzt geht's weiter mit dem Song How to Save a Life.
Sit down, it's just talk. He smiles politely, back to you. You stare politely right on through some sort of window to your right. She goes left and you stay right. Swing the lines, fear flame. You begin to wonder why you came.
Unsere Kolleginnen haben sich ja in der Sendung mit dem Thema Außenseiter beschäftigt. Auch wir, nämlich Sophie, Leonie und Jule, haben uns dieses Thema ausgesucht. Wir waren für euch in London unterwegs und haben die Leute gefragt, was sie zum Thema Außenseiter in der Gesellschaft denken. Wir haben viele verschiedene Antworten bekommen und für euch natürlich auch nachgehakt. Hier kommen unsere Interviews zum Thema Außenseiter in der Gesellschaft.
What do you think is an outsider of society?
The government.
That's interesting. Why?
Because they only do what they want and not what we want.
And do you think that you are integrated in today's society?
Yes.
Why?
Because I am. Everybody's integrated. In England it is anyway.
And do you think that you are integrated in today's society?
I am integrated.
What do you think about homeless people?
A lot of them make themselves homeless. So it's up to each own, isn't it?
So you think it's their own fault?
Some of them, not all of them.
So what do you call an outsider from society?
Some people don't like to engage with society. People who don't use banks, who don't pay taxes, who decide to keep their money under their bed, maybe who aren't obviously. People who don't volunteer their information so they don't have passports and things.
And do you think that you are integrated in today's society?
Oh, yes, I am.
And what do you think about homeless people?
What do I think about them? I don't think about them very often, to tell you the truth. Sometimes when I'm walking past them, I'll give them the cheap whatever change is in my pocket.
Okay, and what do you think are the reasons for homelessness?
Well, same as your previous interviewer. It's not just that they don't have enough money. A lot of people who maybe don't have the luxury of a lot of money, maybe have the luck of having family who they can sit on the couch of, it's people who are out of money and out of other options, because I think really sleeping on the streets is something you wouldn't do unless you absolutely had to.
And do you think it's their own fault?
No, it's not. A lot of people are hard on luck, down on luck, and don't end up sleeping on the streets. I don't really blame them for doing the only thing they can.
Well, thank you very much. What do you think is an outsider of society?
Somebody that sits around begging, I suppose.
Someone's different to other people.
And do you think that you are integrated in today's society?
Yes, big time.
Yes, definitely.
Why?
I'm a pensioner, so I know what real life is about and how you have to manage on a little money. And Brighton is a nice place to be because you can do walk for nothing.
I'm a mum, so I feel that I'm integrated with other mums.
What do you think about homeless people?
I feel very sorry for them because, for the grace of God, we could all be homeless. And some people, it's not their fault. Other people, it is their fault. But sometimes, if they're into drugs and things, it's not very easy to not become homeless.
But I feel sorry for them. It's sad.
Do you think it's their fault?
No, because I think if people take drugs or something, their addiction isn't them, it's kind of, so something's happened to make their life how it is.
And what do you think are the reasons for homelessness?
Lack of money, lack of parental responsibility when they were young, people in care that don't know how to cope with life, because I worked with children for 17 years in children's homes, and I don't think there's enough support when people leave school. And everybody, that like teenagers, think everything's for nothing, and they don't know basic skills, how to budget, how to cook, and how to look after themselves, because all these things have been done for by the parents often.
Well, there could be lots of different reasons for homelessness, but that's people might have had an argument, they might have been in care and released, so they don't know how to cope. They might be on drugs, or they might just, I don't know, be down on a downward spiral, be a bit depressed or something.
What would you call an outsider of society?
Outside of society? Someone who doesn't fit in.
And who would that be, for example?
Ooh, that's quite judgmental, isn't it?
It's difficult to say because everybody's in society. You know, society is everybody, isn't it? So it's difficult to say who is out of society. Because
people who don't fit in with the norm. So you were saying this is about homeless. That could be, like, I'm a school teacher, I see plenty of kids who don't fit in with other kids, and they sit amongst anyone, they're just on their own being neglected, or they just walk around the pitch on there. I think it's people who don't fit in and people don't make an effort with them to fit in with the norm. That's what I would say.
You think you are integrated in today's society?
Yeah, I would. Why? I've had a decent upbringing, I know what good morals and values are, and I don't know, we've got confidence to mix with other people without being pushed.
What was the original question about? Sorry.
What would you call an outsider of society?
Because, I think me personally, I would say that society, you know, there is everybody on all levels of society. You know, there are people who wouldn't fit into what you might call the norm, so they might not be working, they might not have a home or whatever, but they are still part of society. You know, what people would assume are is not in society would be...
What do you think about homeless people?
A lot of the time it comes hand in hand with mental health problems, and you know, I know that a lot of the homeless on our street are ex-service people, ex-military people who just haven't managed to integrate back into what people decide is society through, you know, post-traumatic stress, for example, through not getting the, treatment for things like that, for things like post-traumatic stress and mental health problems, and it all compounds itself and becomes... It tends to become a vicious circle, and then you get into alcohol problems and drug problems, and it all spirals out of control. But I think it's really sad that there are people who are homeless.
I'll just give you a little story. One of my best friends, he's emigrated to Australia now, but he was homeless. He didn't have a terribly good upbringing, and he made a decision just to up and leave, and he was homeless for about 2-3 years. But it was on his back. He went through all the misery and the heartache, and, you know, sorry to say, woe is me and all that, but, you know, he went to college afterwards, got himself a job first with the Homeless Society. I can't remember, Ad Action it was called. And then from there, managed to climb up to a 30 grand a year job. Ad Action went bust, and then he went to do a degree, and then he's emigrated to Australia. takes a lot for someone who's been homeless.
Do you think it's their own fault if they are homeless?
I think it's the circumstances that people have ended up in, and that can be through all for all sorts of reasons that they've ended up. But I don't think you can actually blame somebody for being homeless.
Nobody wants to be homeless.
Nobody wants to be in that situation. And quite often things, like I say, mental health problems, and then problems that then compounds problems with drugs and alcohol, and it all takes over, yeah. And it becomes a symptom of the whole, of the whole thing, doesn't it? But I don't think you can blame somebody for being homeless. I don't think anybody sets out to choose that lifestyle, you know.
Jetzt habt ihr die Meinung der Leute in London gehört. Habt ihr schon einmal über das Thema nachgedacht? Wenn nicht, könnt ihr das ja jetzt machen bei einem Song von den Beatles, Let It Be.
And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Außenseiter und Vorurteile, eine Radiosendung der 5i des Musischen Gymnasiums.
In Österreich haben im Jahr 2006 37.000 Obdachlose soziale Einrichtungen aufgesucht, davon waren 50% Flüchtlinge und Asylwerber. Ein Drittel dieser 37.000 Menschen waren jünger als 30 und nur 20% waren Frauen. Die Dunkelziffer ist allerdings um einiges größer. Die häufigsten Gründe für Todesfälle unter Obdachlosen sind Gewaltverbrechen, Erfrieren, Krankheiten, die durch fehlende Hygiene und nicht vorhandene medizinische Betreuung entstehen, und der Hungerstod. Ursachen für Obdachlosigkeit überhaupt sind Zwangsausräumungen, Scheidung vom oder Tod des Partners, Arbeitslosigkeit, fehlende Schulbildung, Krankheit, Kriegsflucht, Verlust des Wohnraums durch Naturkatastrophen und Migration.
Wie bereits genannt, ist Armut oft die Folge von Kriminalität. Am stärksten vertreten sind Verurteilungen von strafbaren Handlungen gegen fremdes Vermögen, also Diebstahl, mit 36%. 19% sind strafbare Handlungen gegen Leib und Leben. 14% sind Verurteilungen von strafbaren Handlungen nach dem Suchtmittelgesetz. Von 1990 auf 2013 ist die Zahl der verurteilten strafbaren Handlungen gegen das Suchtmittelgesetz von 1750 auf 4000 gestiegen. In Österreich sind ca. 18,8% der Bevölkerung armuts- oder ausgrenzungsgefährdet. Der Frauenanteil der über 20-Jährigen ist höher als der Männeranteil. 386.000 unter 19-jährige Österreicherinnen und Österreicher sind armuts- oder ausgrenzungsgefährdet. Insgesamt leben in Österreich 370.000 Personen in einem Haushalt mit Langzeitarbeitslosigkeit. Davon sind 159.000 Personen armutsgefährdet. Über ein Drittel dieser können es sich nicht leisten, die Wohnung angemessen warm zu halten. Ein weiteres Drittel befindet sich in sehr schlechtem oder schlechtem Gesundheitszustand.
Und nun zu den Gesetzen. In Österreich hat jeder einen Anspruch auf Hilfe, der in einem Bundesland gemeldet ist oder einen Asylantrag gestellt hat. Man darf dann beispielsweise Obdachlosenheime besuchen. Im Gegensatz dazu darf jeder in Tageszentren und Wärmestuben. Der Besuch dieser Einrichtungen ist natürlich freiwillig. In Österreich hat man generell das Recht, sich im Freien aufzuhalten. Aber man darf keine Schlafsäcke außerhalb eines Campingplatzes auflegen oder darin schlafen. Die Strafen in Salzburg können eine Höhe von bis zu 10.000 Euro erreichen. Ein Platz mit vielen Obdachlosen ist in der Stadt Salzburg der Bahnhof. Als Hilfestellung für Obdachlose gibt es Straßenzeitungen, die aber nur Nebenerwerbstätigkeit sein dürfen. Man erhält ungefähr 2 Euro pro verkaufter Ausgabe. Das ist auch in London ähnlich. Sonst gibt es aber in den Londoner Gesetzen große Unterschiede zu den österreichischen. Bei Hilfeleistungen kommt es auf Eigenverschuldung, Dringlichkeit der Hilfe und Staatszugehörigkeit an. Außerdem gibt es sehr viele Obdachlosenheime, die für jeden zugänglich sind. Interessanterweise ist in Großbritannien sowohl das Schlafen auf der Straße als auch das Betteln wegen des Vagrancy Acts verboten. Dieser ist 1824 in Kraft getreten, seitdem nicht verändert worden und ist für unzählige Festnahmen und auch für Todesfälle verantwortlich. Denn die Londoner Polizei ist nicht immer zimperlig.
Whiskey for the way, and I sure would like some sweet company, and I'm leaving tomorrow, what do you say, when I'm
by my
me by my talk. Oh, you're gonna miss me when I'm gone.
Heutzutage werden sogar Menschen mit vielen Tattoos oder Piercings schief angeschaut. Man kennt es selbst auch. Manchmal starrt man gerade stark tätowierte Leute an, oftmals nicht mal mit Absicht.
Dennoch schreckt man unbewusst zurück und stempelt sie ab. Wir, Paula, Leonie, Sophie, Marlene und Paul, haben in Brighton einen Tätowierer interviewt und nach seiner eigenen Meinung gefragt.
I'm Jack. I work behind the desk. And that's kind of my job, is I'm the shop manager.
First thing which pops up in your head when I ask you something about an outsider is like, how does he look or what does he need to have?
Well, for me, I don't know. An outsider is probably someone who is completely free of queen and country and lives off the land. That, to me, is an outsider. But I wouldn't necessarily class myself as being an outsider necessarily. But to me, it would be someone who lives outside of society or something. Sorry. Hello, tattoos.
So, you just think it's like more social outside. It's an outsider. You can't tell if he's an outsider just by his.
Maybe from what I was saying that extreme body modification. Because I don't see tattoos as being that crazy now, you know, in that sense. You do get ones that are. But yeah, I mean, there's some extreme body modifications out there that would turn heads now, you know.
Uh-huh.
I think people have seen enough hand and head tattoos.
Yeah.
Maybe facial tattoos is probably someone where you really cast yourself out as a possible
outsider.
You know what I mean? You can have tattoos anywhere, but this is what we see as a person, is the face. As soon as you start doing something like that, it really changes the way people see you, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I would say that's quite an extreme modification of your body, you know?
Because some people say, look at him, he has something like many tattoos on his arms, on his body, like in summer when you see much skin.
Mm-hmm.
They say, yeah, he's an outsider because he looks different than everybody else do.
But then he covers up and goes to work in an office and is just like everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
He's not an outsider anymore, he's blending in, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe the face, it really changes how you become.
Yeah.
But it's so subjective as well. Someone, like an old lady, could think, I'm an outsider because I wear some skate shoes or something.
I don't know, tattoos are not that visual, but something more extreme, like big plugs or I don't know.
Well, I don't know, if you chose to have it, then you're going to go out. But I think there's so many things now, you know, like it takes David Beckham, a footballer, to get a tattoo, and then everyone wants him. You get tattoo programs on TV now. So it's so mainstream now. It's getting really... And I'm sure there's politicians out there with tattoos hidden underneath somewhere, you know. I don't know, but... There's a definite difference, definitely. Someone who can put something on and hide it, so whether it's out there, then I guess you probably are casting yourself as an outsider.
Okay.
But only to certain people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, these are groups.
Mm.
I mean, you to the people who are casual, like the stereotypes, I love my home country, and... But then are these people like the rebels, like, for example, the punks is a good example for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are also outcasting themselves to a different kind or a different group of people.
It's funny though, because, you know, the punks, they did it because they really wanted to piss people off.
Yeah.
But now people do it because they want to please people almost. They're like, oh, I want to please myself, or please the person, my family member who's also got tattoos, or my girlfriend likes it, or...
Yeah.
When before it'd be like, I don't want my girlfriend to like it, I don't want anyone to fucking like it, right, you know? So it was a very different attitude towards it, I guess.
And what do you think about big plugs? I mean, they're really visible. I mean, they're on the ear. And some people think they're extreme for when they are about 2 centimeters big. I don't know. It's really
huge ones.
Yeah, the huge ones.
But, you know, there's ways of getting, you know, there's laser removal for tattoos if someone, you know, you can get holes sewn up now. There's so many, you can get tongues sewn back together, I think, can't you?
Just shrunk on their own.
Yeah, some shrunk on their own.
Like, so there's... Big, and
and they just shrunk up on their own.
There's even body modification now to make yourself normal, or however you want to say it, you know? So if now you can go back, I guess, from what you're saying is that they're outsiders. There's always that option to...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's not so extreme, I don't think, anymore, because you can fix it up if you want to, you know?
Yeah. But do you think it's, like, more the generations? Because, from my opinion, there are many young people who want to have a tattoo, like myself. I think about earplugs, I'm thinking about a tattoo when I'm a little bit older. So, I mean, that's generations.
Yeah, generation thing. Are you on about if you go and have it done when you're young, you might regret it when you're older?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah.
So
I've got a tattoo I had when I was 18 that's terrible, but I don't regret it. But it's, you know, I do get people. But then there's cover-ups, laser removal. You know, there's so many options now.
I'll make something better or other.
Yeah. On top of it. You know, there's loads of success stories. So say someone could feel unhappy with their body or something like that, and they want a tattoo to see, you know, that they're young and they've chosen a silly thing or whatever, and then you can also have that now covered up to make it be, and then you're proud of your body, you're proud to show off this part. So,
They're like... These trendy tattoos who get after a while most of the people don't like them anymore because they're not trendy anymore.
That's because they got it for the wrong reason. They got it because they wanted to copy someone else because it was trendy. That's their own fault.
that's also what I think.
Sorry, hold on. Hello, tattoos.
Das war das Interview mit dem Tätowierer Jeff aus Brighton. Für uns war es sehr interessant zu hören, was er zum Thema Außenseiter denkt. Some women find that seductive, some say
court you, I neglect you, don't mean to disrespect you, can't you see? I love you dearly, and not sincerely, but you annoy me, you can't avoid me, I'm here to stay, forever, and ever, in a day that's never, I can't let you go, I can't forget it, why you did it, I won't permit it, I won't acquit it, I wanna fight you, I fucking bite you, can't stand nobody like you.
Unser nächster Beitrag wird Sie mit Punks beschäftigen und vor allem mit der Definition von Punks, mit der Meinung über Punks. Und wir haben auch nur einen kleinen Vergleich, also wir haben Interviews gemacht und wir haben einen Vergleich von London zu Salzburg. Ein paar Infos, also die Punks sind eine Jugendkultur und die sind besonders in die 70er Jahre aufgekommen und zwar in New York und London. Und die Definition von Punks war da eben früher das provozierende Verhalten und die rebellische Haltung. Und übersetzt heißt Punks faulendes Holz. Und jetzt hören wir ein paar Interviews aus London.
Why do you think Punks are dressing like this?
Some of them started dressing like that just to look different. And some of them thought that it was cool and they decided to dress like that, all of them.
Someone who wears funny clothes and has funny hair and thinks they're really cool.
Why do you think they dress like this?
Maybe just to express who they are and make a bit of a statement.
I think they're just it's just a fashion statement that they want to be noticed. I mean, punks originate, they're nothing new. They originated, 30 years ago now? And I thought it was a phase that would have died out long before now. And it still keeps coming back sometimes, but not so many punks about now. I psychologically think that, yes, they are an exhibitionist, that they need to be noticed, and it makes them feel good. If it makes them feel good, I'm quite happy with that. Yeah.
Someone who dresses the way they like and have their own style, don't really care about what other people think.
When I hear the word punk, I just think of the music punk rock from the early 90s, so I don't really associate punk with current age, even though there may be punks out there. I wouldn't know them if I saw them. I just recall from the 19th, I remember lots of black. I live in New York City, so there was a punk movement in New York City as well.
Green hair, human being, and they're expressing themselves in a different way.
Why do you think they dress like they dress?
Because they want to be individual, and in some ways they probably want to stand out from a crowd.
To me, a punk is somebody who would have colourful hair, possibly a Mohican, spiky hair,
yes,
possibly lots of piercings, maybe leather. Yeah. Doc Martin boots.
Das waren jetzt unsere Eindrücke aus London und jetzt kommen unsere Interviews in Salzburg.
Hättest du kurz Zeit für eine Frage? Und zwar, was ist deine Definition von einem Punk? Also wie stellst du dir den vor? Warum glaubst du, ziehen sie so an, wie sie sich anziehen?
Ein Punk?
Ja.
Naja, ich schätze mal, das hat was mit der Musikrichtung zu tun und ist wahrscheinlich auch so eine Lebenseinstellung, die ein bisschen alternativ eben ist. Und sie wollen einfach anders ausschauen als alle anderen.
Punks.
Punks, mag
was
ich nicht.
Ihre Definition von Punks ist, oder
Punk.
Was sie denken, dass ein Punk ist?
Was ist ein Punk? Ein Punk, der nur schwarz mit anderen, mit Stiefeln, wie Soldaten, und denkt, er kann machen, was er will.
Das war's schon.
Und das mag ich nicht.
Okay,
so dankeschön.
Was ist deine Definition von einem Punk, oder was ein Punk ist? Wie stellst du dir das vor?
Keine Ahnung.
Weißt du, was ein Punk ist?
Nein.
Okay, wisst ihr, was ist eure Definition, oder wisst ihr, was ein Punk ist?
Ja, ein Punk. So aufgestellte Haare,
ja.
Und meistens hochgegelt und gefärbt auch oft.
Okay, und warum glaubst du, dass er sie so anzieht und so ausschaut?
Das weiß ich eigentlich nicht. Vielleicht möchte er auffallen oder so.
Was ist eure Definition zu Punks und sowas?
Ja, schwarze Haare, Piercings, schwarz gekleidet und so. So ein bisschen Emo, nur mit noch ein bisschen Feuerrotnamen und sowas. Ja, Punk ist kein Emo.
Punk ist ein Emo.
Na, so. Ein Unterschied.
Was verstehen Sie unter dem Wort Punk oder wie definieren Sie einen Punk?
So eine Irokese, Springerstiefel.
Ja. Und wie glauben Sie, sind da die Menschen so drauf? Also eher so aggressiv oder?
Die sind ganz cool, chillig.
Okay, Dankeschön.
Danke, ciao.
Das waren jetzt Eindrücke aus dem Leben von einer ganz anderen Kultur. Und ich hoffe, Sie haben was mitgenommen. Ich wünsche nur einen schönen Tag. Und von Ihnen verabschieden Sie jetzt der David, das bin ich, in der Moderation. Der Robin und der Moritz, die waren für die Interviews und für die Technik zuständig. Und der Julian, der hat auch noch Interviews gemacht. Ich möchte mich noch ganz herzlich bei der Radiofabrik Salzburg und besonders bei der Carla bedanken, dass sie uns das da alles ermöglicht hat und ganz viel Geduld für uns gehabt hat. Und jetzt haben wir noch Punkband, und zwar die Sex Pistols. Die sind 1975 gegründet worden und leider 1978 schon wieder aufgelöst, aber 1996 neu gegründet. Und die Gründungsmitglieder waren Johnny Rotten, Steve James, Glenn Matlock, Paul Cook. Und jetzt haben wir noch von die Sex Pistols Anarchy in the UK. Viel Spaß und auf Wiederhören.
ich dir erzählen, was du sehen willst oder fühlen willst, was du spüren willst. Vielleicht nichts von dem, denn ich kann nicht sehen, wie du bist, weil was ich denk, nur in meinem Kopf ist. Nur in meinem Kopf seh ich dich so, wie ich dich sehe. Nur in meinem Kopf die Dinge, die nur ich verstehe. Nur in meinem Kopf läuft es ab, was mich betrifft. Doch betrifft es dich und wird wie Gift für dich. Dann ist es wahr, dass ich mich verschätzt hab, als ich dich versetzt hab, dich dadurch verletzt hab. Ich weiß, tief in mir drin bestreite ich nicht die Wichtigkeit unserer Zweisamkeit. Es tut mir leid, das ist nur in meinem Kopf. Nur in meinem Kopf. Die Wahrheit, die Klarheit, nichts in meinem Kopf.